If you'll take your Bibles, turn to page 57. Should be Luke chapter 2. This first scripture we're going to use tonight, I told you I had some good news, right? In fact, I got great news. But this scripture we're going to read here first, we've read it 100 times, well, 1,000. You've heard it all of your life. I'm not going to tell you anything you hadn't already heard tonight, but I want you to maybe hear it in a little different light. Maybe a little different application of it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Are you there on page 57? You see that familiar story, right? Here's the scene of the shepherds, you know, out in the field watching over their flock. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The King James says they were sore afraid. I remember an old comedian you saying, when you sore afraid, you just flat scared, you know. But I mean, can you imagine an angel just showing up? That shake me up, you know. Shake any of us up. But anyway, verse 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings or good news, right? I got something good to tell you. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, all people is me, right? All people is us. All people is everybody we ever meet. So the good news is applicable to everybody, everywhere, all the time. Again, this scripture is usually affiliated with Christmas. You know, we read this story at Christmas. This is the announcement, of course, of the birth of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that just because it's affiliated with Christmas don't mean it runs out at the end of Christmas. You know, I hate to say it, but it seems like we put Jesus back on, we take all the ornaments down off the tree and the lights, and we put them away, and we put our thoughts about God up till next Christmas, or at least till Easter. You know, then we think about it again. But this is something, this news is so good, it needs to be said everywhere, all the time. And that is, it says, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. Then it goes on to describe how they'll find him, right? You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But what we want to look at is the announcement he made. This angel said, there is a Savior born today. That's the greatest news that the world's ever heard or ever will hear. In other words, we have an opportunity now to go to heaven. We don't have to go through the law no more. We don't have to slaughter sheep and oxen and goats and birds and all that, you know. And of course, in the Old Testament, that only covered sin. If you read it out, study it out, these blood sacrifices did not eliminate sin. It only covered the sin. Now, when Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and the difference there is the resurrection, by the way. Him dying is no more than Buddha dying or Muhammad dying or any of the other gods. All of them died. The difference is Jesus didn't stay dead. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave, Revelation says. And that separates him from the other gods. So, in fact, turn to page 91. Let's see how John said it. The Apostle John, should be John chapter 1 on page 91. May have a lot of editing for him to do on this one with my cough, but we'll make it. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Again, the greatest news is what John said. And the Word became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. The Word. What is the Word? The Bible, right? Back up to John 1:1, the first verse. Somebody read John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
There you go. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and what? The Word was God. So when it says the Word became flesh, that's none other than Jesus Christ. See? And the great news there is, it's no longer a foreign God or something. He's here. In other words, the people that lived in that time could reach out and touch him. We can touch him by faith, through prayer, by faith. And of course, now we have the third party of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit, right? Every born-again Christian has that. But the good news then, and the good news today, is the Word is here today, every day. Now, Jesus, we established Jesus is the Word, right? Then the Word is God. Jesus, of course, is God the Son. There's a lot of people out there today you'll run into, I'm not going to call any names, but they will agree with you that Jesus is the Son of God. On the onset, on the beginning, they sound really great. There's some of the biggest cults in the world that's considered religion. But actually, it is a religion. It's not Christianity. But they'll agree with you that Jesus is and was the Son of God. But what changes things is when you say, but he was also God the Son. Listen carefully. He's not just the Son of God, but he's God the Son. You follow me? He's also God. He's just as much God as the Father is God. And that's what separates him from all the rest. He was born, he lived here, he walked around just like us. He had probably had headaches like we do. I know he was attacked by the enemy like we are. We read stories of that. We talked one time on the temptation of Jesus Christ. He was tempted like we are. He had been fasting in that case for 40 days and nights without anything to eat. What did the devil say? You know, offered him something to eat. Well, whatever we're weak in, that's what he's going to offer us, you know. That's right. Money, power, prestige, anything.
Jump off this. Yeah. Cliff, the angels will catch you.
Come on, yeah. Come on. The only difference is he was tempted like we are, but he didn't sin. He didn't sin. And he lived a life as an example for us. You say, well, everybody sins, yes, but we don't have to do that. The thing about sin is we need to understand is when we commit a sin, not if, when. Then we need to say, Lord, I know I did wrong. I didn't react right. I didn't act right. Whatever the case is, I did something wrong. Show me how to not do that again. Not only do we repent. Repent, you know, means turn around. Well, if I sinned at this stage or doing something, then I need to ask God how to stop that. I don't want to go there no more, right? An alcoholic, or as they say, a recovering alcoholic, has no business hanging around a bar. That'd be foolish, right? That'd be tempting, and you shouldn't do that. But yet, you know, we tend to go right back where the sin was done. It could be temper, could be losing our temper, you know. We need to, if that's our weakness, then we need to say, God, give me strength in that area. Help me overcome that. And there's people that just flat irritate you. What do you do to me? I mean, there's certain people just get on your nerves, as they say. Well, I start saying, Lord, help me minister to that person. In other words, beat Satan at his own game. Instead of not talking to that person, that'd be easy enough. Just don't answer the phone or whatever. But better yet, ask the Lord to give us strength in that area. And that's what God did as the Son, as the flesh, living in the flesh, he overcome everything. Only because the Father. you're constantly, when you're reading the stories, go ahead and turn to page 54. All throughout Jesus' life and the illustrations and examples he gave us, he was constantly giving credit back to the Father. Now that's something interesting, you know. Even though he was God in the flesh, he was still in the flesh. So he had to have God the Father watching over him. He spent a lot of time in prayer too. How often do we pray? When we're in trouble? Probably. When I can't figure it out myself? You know, those bumper stickers says, when all else fails, read instructions. I had one of them, I took a magic marker and marked through when and put before. Before all else failed, read the instruction. And of course, I'm not perfect, you know, but I try to work on it. Because Paul said to strive towards perfection. He taught that. And at the same time, said there, Jesus said there's none perfect, no, not one. So you think, well, what's the point? It's just something we work at. Bit by bit by bit, we grow in the Lord. Mark 16, are you there? Here's some even better news. Like I say, all right, all the gods have died. Muhammad, Buddha, you know, on and on and on we could name Eastern gods. And Jesus had died. He was gone at this point, Mark 16. But the good news, as I said before, he didn't stay dead. Says in verse 1, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. They went to, well, here we go, verse 2. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday. But anyway, you know the story. They went up there, and all of a sudden they realized somebody had rolled a stone away. It was open. And they entered the tomb, verse 5. They saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And again, like the shepherds in the field, they were alarmed. That shook them up. They said, whoa, you know, who is this? But the good news is what he said. Again, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. What's them next three words? That's the good news. He is risen. He is risen. Verse 6, greatest news. He is not here. The angels told him, see the place where they laid him. Now look at verse 7. This is really great. To me, this is great. But go, tell his disciples, and who?
Peter.
Reckon why he said, and Peter. Because Peter was known as the failure, right? He was the one that did not even know in Jesus just before this happened, leading up to Jesus' death, right? Jesus went to the great extent to send a message to Peter that it's okay. Yes, you failed, but you repented and turned around, so it's okay. That's the great news with the Word coming, living here, is forgiveness is available. Again, not if we sin, but when we sin, you know. But again, just like our children, you know, when they were growing up and, you know, at a very young age, real little, we don't expect a whole lot out of them. There's not a lot of responsibility there. But now as they grow older, my baby's 36. And she's a woman. She's got her own family. She's a professional photographer and got her own business. Well, she's got a lot more responsibility, right? So we expect more out of an adult. And the same thing as we grow in our Christian faith, we need to be growing in it and learning so that we don't stumble and fall over every little thing that happens. You know, when Jesus was being crucified, things looked pretty bleak. All of a sudden, now you got to know something, that because they were following Jesus, their lives was on the line. Because he was not popular. he come, you know, preaching stuff they didn't want to hear. And that won't make you very popular. And now, if you can get this picture in your mind, Jesus was being crucified. He's dead. We know, of course, he's going to be resurrected. But now, picture just before that. If you was a disciple, if I was one of the disciples, what did they do? You remember that story? They all just kind of, get out of here. Jesus who? You know? Because he was dead, but all these 3 years or so that he was with them, he was teaching them, just, you know, filling them full of the word. And often he told them, I'm going to die. They're going to put me to death, but I'm going to rise again. Well, it ain't never happened before. You know, I can just imagine Carrie telling me, you know, I'm going to die, but don't worry about it. 3 days, I'll be back. I say, yeah, right. If you come back, I'm leaving. But no, you know, no wonder it was hard for them to comprehend that. We look back at it as history. We look back at the, you know, fulfillment of all that and know that the great news was that he said that. We know now he did that because we're looking back at it. So when he was being crucified, as we used to say in South Georgia, you know, things look bad for the home team. Things look real bad. But Jesus knew the plan that was laid out for him. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And thus, he allowed them to crucify him. Turn to page 110. He had to do that in order to fulfill his role, what he came to do. He came to die. He came to be the perfect sin atonement. He came to give his life. Again, you know, if he hadn't died and rose again,
he made the way for all of us.
That's right. He opened that door for us to come and go. And you know, with a gift like that, you'd think that we'd be running after people to tell them about it. You know, if you gave me a brand new car or something, even less than that, if you gave me a nice gift, I'd be telling everybody, you know. In fact, we get some gifts at the ministry sometimes, it's anonymous. They don't want nobody to know. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to do. But I do it because they ask, you know. And I understand that, and I respect that. And somebody writes you a check for 50 grand, you know, it's hard to... I want to go tell everybody, say, hey, look what so-and-so did. But now I say, look what God did. Now, whose it came through is not relevant, right? See, and that way they get more blessing anyway than what I could have done. But here it is. Jesus came and gave his life on the cross for us. Are you at John 16? Is that where I said? Page 110? I get lost myself. Now, again, Jesus died, resurrected, but he sent us help. That wasn't the end of the story, amen? That's the good part. And that is this. Let's drop down. I start verse 1, but for the sake of time, well, let's just read it. It won't take that long. 16, verse 1. These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Now remember, I said he spent all of his time, just about day and night, teaching them the word. Today we have it on CD, we got it on tape, we got it on the internet, got it in print. I've heard people say they have a hard time reading. Well, that's no excuse because you can listen to it now. I mean, or you can download it. Boom, you know. So he said, if he were to say it today, he would say, Joe, I have provided the word so that you don't stumble. You ought to be reading it, talking to me. You ought to be reading it. So I've done it for your benefit. He said, they will put you out of synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offered God a service. How many have we heard of these murderers, these mass killings, that said God told them to do it? Right? They're doing it today. Thinking They're doing God a service. Isn't that what he said right there in John chapter 16? So that's happening now. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I've told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. In other words, I was there then. Now I'm leaving. I'm going away. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? He's saying, hadn't you been listening? Hadn't you been paying attention? I'm leaving. Don't you understand? I'm not going to be here. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, or some version says the comforter, will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. More good news. More good news. Jesus left, and he sent what? Who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. kind of out of habit, we'll say Jesus lives in my heart. Well, you know, that's okay, but technically it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says. He's making intercession. Because when God's holiness looks at Joe Hunter and says, that act demands death. Yeah, when I sin, in God's holiness, I'd be zapped like that. But Jesus said, Father, this is literally what happens in heaven. He says, Father, I died for that sin. And he's repented. So it's covered. It's gone. It's eliminated. Not just covered, it's gone. That's what Jesus is doing right now. And the Holy Spirit, his job is, when I sin, to convict me of it. Not condemn, convict. My friends condemn me. Your so-called friends, right? But he convicts me. And he says here that he'll come as a helper to lead me and direct me. In fact, let's see. Verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. The world, right? The world don't believe in God, so they're convicted of sin. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Hallelujah. I'm glad to read that. Satan trips us every now and then. Satan messes with us and plays mind games with us. But he, the Bible says, he is judged, past tense. See, he's already defeated, but he's such a good bluff that we listen to him instead of reading the Word and act according to the Word. You see? Think about that. I've said this many times that I could never play poker because I can't bluff. I can't. If I got a good hand, the whole world knows it. You know, I just, you know, if I got a bad hand, they know that too. But if, you know, if you've ever been around poker players, the whole key is being able to bluff, right? I've stood and watched that before Christ when I worked at truck stop down in South Georgia. Many a Saturday night, I've watched people play. I couldn't, like I say. First of all, I was too stingy. What little I made, I wasn't about to gamble it, you know. But I watched that with great interest, and when I started learning the Word, God brought that back to my mind. I watched this guy betting like there's no tomorrow, right? And I'm looking over his shoulders. He don't even have a pair. Not even a pair. Now, nothing wild. You know, 5-card draw, nothing wild. And he's betting. You bet 5, he'll bump you 5. Whatever you say, he goes that much more. And sooner or later, you're going to say, he must have something, right? Or you just run out. My point is, a lot of times I've seen Clarence Adams drag the pot. He would put his card back in the middle of the deck. You never saw them. Somebody say, what you got? He said, you pay to see them. And that's really true, right, in poker. You pay to see it. Point is, He was such a good bluff, he won the game when he didn't have the winning hand. Satan can win the game if we don't look out, and he don't have the winning hand. We do. We do. We're sitting here with four natural aces, right? With no wild card. How much better can it get? But yet a good bluff will bluff you out of it. He says, the ruler of this world is judged, and it's in the book for us to read. We don't have to listen to him. We don't have to believe him. No matter what happens to me. Now, everything don't come out the way I want it to. You know that. But it comes out the way he wants it to. I'm guaranteed that. And we've been through some situations in our life that my flesh wanted to cry out and say, hey, are you up there? Right? Do you see what's going on? And I hear those words, just trust me. I don't like to hear that. I really don't. Because that means I'm out of my comfort zone now. Right? Have to trust him. But we say, turn to page 86. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Good news we're talking about. You say, I failed so many times. There's no hope for me. Well, yes, there is. Peter, remember we were talking about Peter? The failure? Well, I think Peter's my hero. And I think he was Jesus' hero. Even though he looked like a failure. What made him a hero? He kept trying. He kept trying. Remember the episode in the boat going across? And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter, like Joe Hunter, sometimes let his mouth overload his faith. And said, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Remember that story? What did Jesus say? He said, come. Come on.
He went out there and then
he started walking on the water. Well, he started walking on the water. Right? The Bible says he walked on the water. But what did he do? He looked down.
He looked down and he lost his faith.
He looked at the situation.
In the water.
Couldn't we see that in our life, that we look at a situation instead of what God said in his word? And we lose our faith, as you said, right? But look at Luke 22:31. Jesus here is talking to Peter. Of course, his name was Simon Peter, right? Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Woo! Woo! Think about this now. Jesus said, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, he's going to eat your lunch. It's what he wants to do. But what does verse 32 start out with? But. That's right. But I have, past tense, I have prayed for you. Well, if Jesus was standing here in the flesh and said, catastrophe is coming, but I prayed for you, I think I'd have enough faith in his prayer to say, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. And it will be. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Now watch this. This is an interesting sentence here to me. Remember, it's Jesus Christ talking, who knows everything, right? He said, but I prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. When you have returned, that tells me you're going to fail. In other words, I know you're going to fail, but I love you anyway. When you have failed, come back to me and then go strengthen your brother. In other words, we can use our testimony for God's glory. Even though God had rather it not ever happen, right? Everything that happens to it is not God's will, necessarily. Some of it is my goof-up. But he did say in Romans 8:28, he says he'll cause all things to work together for good. In other words, he takes my bad and make it good. He can make anything turn into good. And that's what he told Peter. He said, now, when it's over, when it's all said and done, you come back to me. I want you to be a witness for me. I want you to go strengthen your brethren, it says. I want you to go tell other people that even though you failed, I love you. Go strengthen your brother. Tell that other truck driver that, hey, brother, I've been there too. That other lawnmower racer, hey, I know where you at, man. Your marriage has gone south. You know, we get attacked, even though I, so far, hadn't went through divorce. 44 years, but so far we're doing okay. We made it this far by God's grace. But our marriage has been attacked many, many, many times, right? The enemy has attacked us all. So my job is that when I've learned from something in my life is to go share it with somebody else. That's not the pastor's job. That's not the chaplain's job by himself. That's all of our job, to be a witness. And I learned something. My Peterbilt had, some of you heard this before, but I had "To God Be the Glory" on the front bumper. And it had "Trucking for Jesus" on the doors, mud flaps, all of them said "Jesus is Lord," had crosses on it, all that stuff. You know what that was for? That was for me. Because now I set an example, I have to go by it. I have to live by it or take it off one. In fact, some of you heard the story. I actually went home to take it off one time. This car had pulled out in front of me again. And one thing that drives me up the wall is a four-wheeler. Now I are one. So I have to be more kind. But, you know, my first thought was blow the air horns at him, you know. And this little thought came in my mind. Jesus spoke to my heart. Said, he's not looking at your name on the front bumper. He's looking at mine. It don't say Joe Hunter on the front bumper. It says, "To God be the glory." So I went home and I said, well, I'll just take it off. And he wouldn't let it. I actually sat there and looked at that thing for a while. I had stick-on letters on the front. And I just couldn't do it. So what I do instead of taking it off is be a better witness. In other words, now I don't react like I used to, because when I blow my air horn, say, right, you look up in your rearview mirror and you see God on there. It ain't about Joe Hunter now. I'm representing him. And the good news is he'll give me power to overcome all that. He'll give me power to learn how to react better. My wife has encouraged me sometime and say, that sure don't look like a reverend look on your face. So. I'm not perfect, but I'm learning. She used to say way back when, she says, it's a shame nobody don't know how to drive but you. And I said, you notice that too. And of course, no, I'm not the best driver nor the perfect driver. We got a choice. We can live in the failures in our life, and a mistake, or we can repent and turn around and get out of them with God's help. And of course, all of you have already told me that you're born again, that you know Jesus, right? You were sharing your testimony with me earlier. So what we need to do is take this tonight and learn from our past mistakes. Don't live there. See, there's an old song that said, leave a well in the valley you go through, because others will come there too. In other words, again, when we stumble and fall, when we make a mistake, let's rebound and then take that experience. And you don't have to go look for somebody. They'll come to you. You know, from some time or another, God will put them in your path. And of course, the greatest news is 1 John 1:9, that we use all the time around here, is that he said, if we've confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the great news. That's the greatest news yet, is the fact that I can be forgiven. And he's waiting for me to ask. That's all it takes. Don't have to work for it. Can't buy it. Can't earn it. All I got to do is ask. And he said he'd forgive me. So, tonight, there may be somebody listening on the CD. I want them to know how to pray. So I want us to pray together. Some in your life maybe, that and those that listen on the CD, that God may have spoken to your heart about that needs to be repented of. The good part is we don't have to itemize it. We'd be here all night. But he said if we repent, he'd forgive us. Amen? Amen. So I want to ask you to do me a favor tonight. Is let's pray this together so that someone that needs to will know what to pray. Many, many times I've had drivers say, I don't know how to pray. And of course, we try, I guess I oversimplify it, just say, talk to God. Well, how do you do that in some people's mind? I want to pray a little prayer. If you'll repeat it with me, then if you mean it from your heart, no matter who you are, what you've done, or where you're going, God promised he'd forgive us. Amen?
Amen.
So pray that with me, if you will. Heads up and eyes open, especially if you're going down the road. Keep your eyes open. But just simple prayer, something like this. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I believe your word. And I receive your word. It is true. It's infallible. Never has an error. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Amen.